This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio, and we've been talking today about ongoing racial tensions surrounding police treatment of communities of color and disparities in communities all across America. We turn now to a play that looks at the long history of this dynamic through a story of one city. Detroit 67 tells the fictional story of a brother and sister working to stay afloat as their city faces increased economic and racial turmoil. While riots and rebellions are happening out on the streets, one family tries to make sense of a new reality inside their own home. The play is punctuated with the music from Motown. Detroit 67 is on stage at UNC Chapel Hill's Playmakers Repertory Theater through this Sunday, and I'm joined in the studio now for a preview. And joining me first is the play's dramaturg, Jacqueline Wooten. Welcome to The State of Things. Good to have you here.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I just want to do a slight correction. It's Jacqueline Lawton.
All right, Jacqueline. Yeah. Well, it's good to have you here. And we will note that. So tell us more of the story behind this production, because it's part of a three-play cycle about Detroit. Is that right?
That's right. So Dominique has written, Detroit 67 is the first of the trilogy, Paradise Blue, which is set in a small jazz club in Detroit's Black Bottom neighborhood. And then Skeleton Crew is the third one, and it explores an auto plant on the eve of the 2008 financial collapse.
All right, so these are kind of key moments in American history and certainly in the history of Detroit. Tell us about the premise of this production, this story, Detroit 67. What's happening?
So it's just as you said, it's set place on the eve, a couple few days before the riots or the rebellion, depending on in what point of view you're actually having the conversation around what happened in the city. And it focuses on a brother and sister as their parents have passed and they're figuring out what are their next steps. Shell has a son who's in Tuskegee Institute, so they want to use some of the insurance money to support his college education. And then you have the brother Link, who has grand ambitions to have his own business, so that they move beyond just having the after-hours club in their basement to actually have a proper bar. And so it's the balancing of those tensions of ambitions and dreams in the midst of what's happening right now in the country. So at that right now, being the late 1960s, where you have the social upheaval, and they're just trying to balance what it means to be Black in America and what it means to have these ambitions and dreams against a society that's really telling you to kind of stay in place.
Well, we only know that because, again, this could be the American dream story, just upward mobility, getting to college, doing what it takes to make a buck to get there. All of that's the American dream story. The racial overlay comes with a complication when the brothers bring home someone they found, tried to help on the street, right?
That's right. And the racial implications are always an aspect of the American dream. It means one thing for one community, one thing if you're a community of color. So they meet a young woman, Caroline, who's in worst of conditions imaginable. And they do want to, they're gentlemen and they're very kind and empathetic. They bring her into her home. And the idea of bringing a white woman into their home at this time period, again, is controversial and even dangerous. Not just for the Black family, but also for her, particularly as the police intervention is happening in the community.
Right. So. And of course, that would be obviously difficult and dangerous, but for the brothers, even more dangerous to bring a woman who had been battered to two Black men to walk into a hospital or a police department with a white woman, equally dangerous for them. So now we see that the racial overlay changes the story of what might. By the way, that shot heard round the world in Concord. A couple of hundred years ago. If you ask the British, they were putting down a riot. Just want you to know that. We call it a rebellion. We celebrate it to this day.
That's right.
So let's talk a little bit more about this particular rebellion. 1967, of course, this was a time of unrest, one of the many cyclical moments in American history where we see this. And I want to bring Rachel Christopher into the program right now. She plays the character Shell. First of all, Rachel, welcome to State. It's good to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Tell us about Shell.
So Shell, as Jacqueline explained, is the kind of matriarch of the family. Their parents have died quite recently. The father has died 6 months ago. And so she has kind of taken control of the hearth and trying to establish a safe space in a world that isn't always, you know, supportive of a functioning family, a functioning Black family. So part of her journey in the play is watching this woman kind of move outside of the bounds of safe space that she's decided for herself and really growing into imagining what it would be to have a dream and to see it through, and realize that dreaming is possible outside of your basement and outside of your own home. So,
would you do a scene for us now, and maybe you can set it up for us?
Sure, no problem. So this is a part of the play that happens right before the end. And it is a scene between Shell and Caroline, who is the white female that's been a guest in their home and who has begun to have romantic feelings for her brother. And while Caroline's point of view is that kind of transference and that kind of love should be accepted and should be viewed as human and universal. Shell is really fighting for her point of view, which is that kind of love is dangerous, and actually you have the privilege of universality and we do not. It's this bit